Good evening. Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. It's a nice lesson. It's the second part in a series on the Beatitudes of relationships. You know, relationships are never simple, but through the Beatitudes, the teachings of Jesus, this foundational passage, we learn that character is really the key to healthier relationships. Nothing takes the place of healthy character in building healthy relationships. If you want to bear a better marriage, better relationship with your kids, better relationship with your parents, better relationship with those in the workplace, nothing matters more than character. Amen? All right, just want to make sure we're on the same page. Character matters most. Now, techniques don't hurt, I understand that, but character is essential. Jesus said that out of the abundance or the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The heart is the bottom line of our character. And what Jesus does in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes is he addresses attitudes of the heart. Attitudes we get to choose. Sometimes we call them Beatitudes, i.e. attitudes we get to choose. This is the way we get to be. This is the way we choose to be. So the character is essential. It's a matter of the heart. And when we get in trouble in relationships, often it's because of our mouths. But the mouth comes from the heart. Jesus again says, out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. So we want to talk about the heart and building our hearts into character that will bring healthier relationships. That's where we're going tonight. Now, last week we looked at the first of the four Beatitudes, and let me just briefly review those. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That is, blessed are those who cultivate humility. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Jesus reminds me of the blessings in being able to share our feelings, be able to be open about our feelings. Jesus also says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. That reminds us, blessed are those who have self-control and the strength to use that self-control appropriately. That's what meekness is. But number four, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who seek justice in relationships, that are looking out for each other for justice in relationships. Those were the four we covered last week, and tonight we want to look at the second half of the Beatitudes and apply them to relationships. I'm going to read the Beatitudes and we'll look at them one at a time. Looking at verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's take a look at those Beatitudes, attitudes that we choose, attitudes we choose to wear in our hearts that lead toward healthier relationships. The first one we're going to talk about tonight is extending forgiveness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Now, I don't know about you, but I love forgiveness, don't you? As long as you're the one forgiving me. When I'm the one that needs to forgive you, it's a little harder. Have you ever noticed that? I love it when I'm receiving it, because I end up in the doghouse pretty often and I need forgiveness. Bottom line, I want mercy. I want your forgiveness from you. Here's the problem. Because when we extend the forgiveness, we think we're giving up power in a relationship. Here's the way it works. Let's imagine that I do something that hurts you. Maybe I preach 15 minutes too long. But more likely, I say something insensitive. You know, I hurt you in something I say. And I'm guilty, and you know it, and I may even know it. And justice has been violated. And since you've been hurt by me, the balance of power in our relationship has shifted. And the fact that I have hurt you gives you some perceived power over me. Did you hear that? The fact that I have hurt you gives you some perceived power over me. And if you choose to forgive me, you choose to give up that power over me. And that's why forgiveness is so hard. because I want to hold that power over someone else. I don't want to give up that power. I like that imbalance of power that comes, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to forgive you or not. That moral superiority that I am over you or I'm better than you. We like that in our fleshly hearts, don't we? That's why it's so hard to forgive. It's not just because of what I've done to you. That can be hard enough. It's because if you forgive me, you give up some perceived power in our relationship. Did you know the word resentment literally means to refeel? That's where the word comes from. To resent is to refeel. Now, why would I refeel the pain that I've been through? Why would I ever want to refeel that pain again? Isn't once enough? Why do we refeel the pain? We do so because we have a twisted desire to feel better or morally superior than the person who hurt us. So if we refeel that pain, then I can show that I'm better than you because I wouldn't do that. And we hold resentment. Resentment, again, means to refeel those emotions of being wronged. But here's the problem. Holding on to resentment is like holding on to a dirty bomb. You know what a dirty bomb is? You know that radioactivity, the cheap stuff? The radioactivity that is just going to be spread if that bomb goes off? But holding on to resentment is like holding on to that dirty bomb of radioactivity. The longer you hold the bomb over someone, the more you are hurt by the radioactivity, right? You don't want it near you. And that's why forgiveness is a gift you give yourselves. When you forgive someone else, it's actually a blessing to you when we choose to let go of resentment. But it's hard because it's giving up a perceived power in the relationship. Because if I've wronged you, you may feel morally superior to me because you would never treat me like I treated you. And it's hard to give up that perceived power in relationship, let go of the resentment. And that's why forgiveness is so hard. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy." You see, when we lay down that dirty bomb that we want to throw at somebody else, but we're just holding it for the right time, you know? When we lay down that dirty bomb and walk away from it, when I extend forgiveness, I receive forgiveness. That's true in our relationship with God, because when we refuse to forgive others, we are not forgiven by the Lord, Jesus teaches, right? But also, not only does it hurt our relationship with God, it hurts our relationship with others. So when I extend forgiveness, I receive forgiveness from God and from other people. Some of us in this audience are old enough to remember the Cold War. Okay, teenagers and young adults, you may not remember this. But before the fall of the Soviet Union, during the Cold War, there was a nuclear deterrent strategy commonly known as MAD, M-A-D. You know what that stood for? Mutually Assured Destruction. The idea is, if we have enough dirty bombs on our side, if we have enough nuclear stuff on our side, and the other power has enough nuclear stuff on our side, neither one of us want to use it, and therefore that's mutually assured destruction. If they attack us, we're going to attack them back, and they don't want to be attacked, so they won't attack us. That's the idea behind mutually assured destruction. That was the general way of thinking during the Cold War era. But sometimes we try to use that thinking in relationships, and it kills us. It kills our relationships. It's mutually assured destruction to relationships when I'm holding that power against you and refuse to forgive. The bottom line is, Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy." That's why forgiveness is so hard to do, is so essential to do. To decide to let go, love keeps no records of wrongs. Now, this is not a lesson fully on forgiveness. If we were doing that, I would spend more time on it. Because forgiveness is often a process, and it's a long process. Sometimes it's hard to let go. You can't just turn the switch off. You sometimes have to forgive and then reaffirm that decision of forgiveness time after time after time. It's hard work. deciding to let go. Love keeps no record of wrongs, 1 Corinthians 13. No wonder Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." If you want healthier relationships, learn the power of forgiveness. Get rid of the dirty bombs of revenge. Get rid of the dirty bombs of resentment. And recognize that relational health comes by forgiveness. And we all need to give and receive forgiveness, because not one of us is perfect. Number two tonight. Jesus said, if you want healthy relationships, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That is, be non-manipulative. Now, all of us want something from our relationships, or we wouldn't get into a relationship, right? We want something from relationships. There's no sin in that. However, sometimes we become manipulative in our ways of trying to get what we want in relationships, and that is relationally unhealthy and spiritually unhealthy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Those who do not have a divided heart, those who are pure in heart, that's what Jesus is talking about. We all yearn for love, support, a listening ear, and friendship, but it's been said 'tis the greatest treason to do the right thing for the wrong reason. And here's the irony of human relationships. If we go into the relationship manipulating others in order to receive what we want, we will fail. Mark it down. If your bottom line is, I'm going to manipulate this person to get what I want out of a relationship, you will fail. When we turn the tables and say, no, my relationship is worth more than any product I get from that relationship, our relationships tend to succeed. Have you ever dealt with a car salesman who was very highly manipulative and wanted to get you into the fanciest car with the biggest price tag, i.e. the best commission, whether you needed it or not? You know what I'm talking about. And you get tired of that, so you go down the street, and here's another car salesman, and he begins by asking questions. Well, tell me about your transportation needs. What kind of vehicle are you looking for? What's essential to you and what's not essential? And he actually listens to what your needs are. And then he begins showing you vehicles that he thinks might fulfill that need. And he helps you make that choice, not by pushing you so he can get the commission, but by serving you because he wants to get you in the best vehicle possible. Who do you want to buy from? Number two, right? Not number one, not the pushy guy, not the manipulative guy, not the one who's most obviously interested in his own commission, but the one who's focused on helping you and serving you. And in the process, he earns the commission because he has served you. That is a model of healthy relationships versus unhealthy relationships. When we focus only on what we can get from other people in relationship, it becomes unhealthy. If we focus instead on how we can serve others and how we can help others, it's amazing how much healthier our relationships become. And most of us can tell the difference between genuine care and manipulation. There's a blessing for being pure in heart. Scripture says they shall see God. Now that blessing of being pure in heart and seeing God may be the eternal reward, but that may not be all that it infers. You see, the pure-hearted person sees the work of God in this world, whereas the manipulative person typically doesn't see the work of God in this world. It's been said we either use things in order to enjoy people, or we use people in order to enjoy things. Have you heard that dichotomy before? Let me say it one more time. We either use things in order to enjoy people, products are an end to relationships, or we use people in order to enjoy things. Relationships have value in themselves, and that help us enjoy things. The pure-hearted person is non-manipulative. He uses things in order to love people. Strong relationships are an end in themselves. You're not just trying to have a relationship with someone so you can get something from them. The relationship itself is valued, and that brings health in relationship. So if you're struggling in a relationship, evaluate it if you're being manipulative or how pure in heart you are. Are you using people because you love something they provide? Or are you loving people just for their own sake? Jesus says, love people for their own sake. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Number three tonight. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who reconcile with others. Now, it's a lot easier to be a peace lover than a peacemaker. You know the difference? Everybody likes to be a peace lover, right? We're all peace lovers. Anybody here really like war and fights? Oh, maybe there's a few people that do. Most of us don't. But being a peacemaker is more than being a peace lover. Everyone loves peace, but sometimes I'm not willing to pay the price for peace in relationships because I want it my way. I've seen too many Burger King ads. I want it my way. My selfishness gets in the way, and it's an ego thing. And you know what ego stands for? E-G-O? Maybe you've heard this one. Ego stands for edging God out. E-G-O. Because when I become the center of attention, when it's all about me, then that edges God out of my relationships in my life. When it's all about me, I fail to let God be at work. When I'm a peacemaker, I'm a son of God. I mirror the character of God and my Father. Don't let your ego keep you from being a peacemaker. Don't let God be on the edge of your relationships. Put him in the center. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not suggesting that Christians need to be wimps. I'm not suggesting peace at any price. Don't go there with me. But so often in little things that we allow to strain our relationships. So pick your battles carefully. Make sure, is this a mountain you want to die on? Is this hill really worth dying for? Think carefully about that. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. We mirror the character of God when we're peace, not lovers, but peacemakers with others. It's hard. It's been said, don't sweat the small stuff. And by the way, 95% of the stuff is false stuff. Don't sweat it, be a peacemaker. Don't let your ego edge God out of working in your relationships. Fight over what really matters, leave alone what doesn't really matter. Be a peacemaker, a son of God, and don't sweat the small stuff. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And number four this evening, fourth beatitude, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever been frustrated because you did the right thing, but somebody didn't reciprocate? Oh, yeah. You gave, you served, you humbled yourself, but they didn't reciprocate. You didn't receive back from them. You did what was right, but you didn't feel like you were treated fairly in return. Have you ever been persecuted for righteousness' sake? Probably so, even in your relationships. And last week we noticed the importance of our desire for justice for others, that is, righteousness. And while we desire justice for others in right relationships, we know inherently life is not always fair. We don't always get what we think we deserve. And the bottom line is this: healthy relationships require not only that we want justice for others, but we recognize we may not always receive justice ourselves. That we're not always going to get back what we want from that relationship. In short, we have to give more than we're getting. Too often we talk about 50-50 relationship. You know, I'll give 50 away and you give 50 and then we'll meet in the middle. What's the problem with that? Well, when I'm thinking I'm giving 50%, you think I'm giving 20%. That's what's the problem with that. Because my perception, your perception of where meeting in the middle is not the same middle. Have you noticed that? So don't try a 50-50 relationship. That doesn't work. Think of any relationship in which you're struggling. You may feel that you're being persecuted because of righteousness. You're doing the right thing, but they're not reciprocating. They're not meeting in your middle. They're not meeting at your 50% line. They're meeting at your 20% line. How do you respond? What's the kingdom way to respond? Jesus said it this way, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That means we give more than we think we need to give. We give more than we think we deserve, the other person deserves to receive. That's kingdom living. That's counterintuitive, but it works. It builds relationships and it gives us spiritual health. The promise of Jesus is there's a blessing in bearing injustice for a higher purpose. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said. And while this may imply a heavenly reward, I suspect it's beyond that. We receive a reward in this life as well when we give more grace than we think we ought to or need to. So kingdom living is living with grace toward others and even bearing injustice for God's higher purposes. And Jesus called it turning the other cheek. It's difficult and it's godly, but it heals strained relationships. So if you find yourself in that difficult relationship and think you aren't getting what you deserve from somebody else, the kingdom answer is not to withdraw from them. It's not to give less. The kingdom answer is to give more. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Four Beatitudes tonight. The importance of extending forgiveness, being merciful. Number two, being non-manipulative, valuing people more than things, being pure-hearted. Number three, reconciling, giving in on the small stuff, being a peacemaker, watching out for our ego getting in the way. Number four, bearing injustice, giving more than you get, turning the other cheek, being persecuted for righteousness' sake and still doing what you know is right in a relationship. These are the principles Jesus defines as kingdom living. These are not easy. Have you noticed that? These aren't easy, but they're right and they're healthy. And they're spiritually healthy and they're relationally healthy principles. These principles define kingdom living. And they engender healthier, happier relationships. And it leads to a blessedness that Jesus talks about in the Beatitudes. These aren't just a matter of duty. This is the way we ought to live. These are principles that bring us blessings in relationship. And that's what Jesus taught. Following the principles of Jesus brings us blessings in this life as well as in the life to come. The lesson is yours tonight. I hope it's been helpful for you as we looked at these Beatitudes and thought about kingdom living from Jesus' perspective and how challenging and difficult it is because Jesus turns the upside-down values of the world right side up in the Beatitudes. Have you noticed that? He turns the way the world says, this is the way life is, and he turns it upside down and says, no, it's not that way, it's this way. Kingdom living is different than the, quote, natural man. It's different than the flesh. It's different than the way the world lives. But yet it's holy and it's righteous and it's right and it's healthy in our relationships. But it's also hard. It's difficult. It's challenging. And not one of us in this room can say, we got a handle on all these things. I sure can't. I preach this sermon with a big dose of humility because I am not in charge of each one of these. I don't have all of these in my life right where they need to be. And my guess is you don't either. But think of one that you want to work on this week. Is it extending forgiveness and being merciful? Is it being non-manipulative, valuing people more than things, being pure-hearted? Is it reconciling and giving in on the small stuff and not letting your ego get in the way and being a peacemaker, not just a peace lover? Is it bearing injustice for the kingdom's sake, giving more than you get, turning the other cheek? Think of that troubled relationship and think which of these principles you want to put into place this week. Grow in your spirit and help God grow you and your relationships. Let's pray together. Father, the words we've heard tonight from your Son are heavy, they're deep, they're profound, and yet in some ways they're so simple. But Lord, they're so hard to practice. Give us grace for our journey in this life and relationships with each other. Because, Father, we all stumble and fall in many ways. We need your grace. Help us, Father, to extend it to others. Help us, Lord, to be that one who extends forgiveness to others. Help us, Father, to be pure-hearted toward you and toward others. Non-manipulative, just being upfront with people and being working out of goodness and desiring the best for them and not just for they can give us. Father, help us to learn to reconcile and not sweat the small stuff. Get our ego out of the way. Lord, help us, Lord, to bear injustice in a biblical way, to give better than we deserve, than the other person deserves, because they need to receive better than they're getting from us. Help us, Father, to go that extra mile, be a second mile person and not just a 1 mile person. Bless us, Lord, to be like you. You're perfect in every way, Lord. We honor that. We respect it. We yearn to be that. And we know we fall short. Thank you for forgiving us and giving us grace to become better in your image. In Jesus we pray. We close with the Lord's invitation. If you desire the prayers of the body of Christ, you need to put on the Lord in baptism and begin the Christian life. We encourage you to make that choice, that decision, even this evening. Let's stand together. Let's sing.